This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Before I let you go here, Chris, what's your first blush thought on this matchup?
I think if you were the Eagles, you'd probably rather play the Bengals.
Really?
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt. Still to come, CBS sports broadcaster Ian Eagle, Lions quarterback Jared Goff, two-time Super Bowl winning head coach Tom Coughlin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. It's Super Bowl week. We are heading to the Arizona Super Bowl in 2 days to do the show Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from there right here on the Roku channel and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. Smart enough to have us. Joining us last hour was J.J. Watt. Just a ton of fun talking to him. I think he's going to go into broadcasting, sir. That's what it sounded like to me.
He sounded really good.
And so he's very good at it. He thinks the Eagles' defensive line is the better of the two such units, and that's where he's going to put his two considerable cents. So we've gotten our first prediction of the week. J.J. Watt thinks the Eagles will win Super Bowl 57. You can chime in at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions and former Super Bowl quarterback of the Rams will join us in about 20 minutes time. And hour number three, Tom Coughlin will join us when we will talk about his two Super Bowl victories with the Giants, as well as his new book, and then get his side of the story that Jesse Palmer told here on this show last week when he had to call Tom Coughlin and ask for permission to do The Bachelor.
That was wild.
Cannot wait to hear Tom's side of the story. It's one of our favorite videos of last week. It's fantastic. That's how we're rolling here.
One of the favorites of all time, Rick.
That's how we're rolling here. And joining us right now is one of our favorites. He is calling this game on the world feed, the international feed. Planet Earth will get the Super Bowl, if you speak English, from this man and Charles Davis. He's also the voice of the Brooklyn Nets. Perfect timing to have Ian Eagle back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Ian?
Hey, we made it. Super Bowl week.
We did.
It's here. It's happening.
So how real. How does one prepare to speak to the world? How do you do that?
Well, it's a lot of pressure, Rich. I mean, I've got the entire world to think about during this broadcast. Not America, not the 48 contiguous states in Alaska and Hawaii.
Nope.
The world.
Yeah.
The Philippines, Indonesia, Israel, the United Kingdom. I could go on and on, but that's really all I've got.
Do you take your boards to the United Nations and study there? Is that what you do? Maybe?
Yeah,
Ian. So what you do?
Yeah, I like to get international studying in and really prepare for the world view.
Yes.
Of the game. No, I don't do anything different. I just show up.
That's it. It's just like, you know, Hoosiers, right? The rim is still the same height from the floor. You know,
exactly.
It doesn't. The
like
gym's
Hoosiers.
Just bigger. The gym's just bigger. That's all.
We're gonna run the picket fence.
Oh my gosh. All right, so your opinion of this Super Bowl, having seen the Chiefs just recently, you saw them hoist the Hunt Trophy and beat the Bengals. Your two cents on this game, Ian Eagle, that you're calling for the world.
Yeah, had Philadelphia late in the year, that Week 18 matchup against the Giants where they just needed the win to seal the number one seed.
Yes.
They were treating the game seriously, and it was Jalen Hurts coming back, which was a big part of it. We had talked to him about the shoulder issue, and there were reservations. He was not necessarily saying that he's 100% and everything's full go. He was adjusting to the new normal. He's had some time since that. Obviously, we've seen them in the postseason and their two victories cruise to the Super Bowl. I just like their group. I like their confidence, what Lane Johnson has done to just be in there. That's inspirational. Their running game is for real. They've got big-time weapons on the outside in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Goddard has proven himself as a reliable target. And then defensively, the fact that they can get to the quarterback nearly at a historic level, second only to the Chicago Bears from their Super Bowl year. The secondary makes plays. I like their team. I like how they've been built. They've been built the right way. It's been a nice mix. They put a lot of faith in Hurts, and he's proven them correct. Kansas City has a certain confidence to them because they've been there. They've done it. They've got the experience. Mm-hmm. They have Andy Reid. who can scheme it up. You give him an extra week to come up with some plans in the lab, and you know he'll have some funky stuff. I don't think they have the mystique they once had, just based on the fact that Tyreek Hill isn't there. Some of their speed will not be a part of it with Mecole Hardman placed on IR. Defensively, they came to play against Cincinnati. Chris Jones was tremendous. Frank Clark was excellent. They got a lot of pressure. They're banged up in the secondary, but they withstood it. My sense is that Philadelphia has got a real belief, and I think they have the kind of squad that can win the whole thing.
Yeah, they certainly have the type of squad to turn a somewhat compromised Mahomes into the last time we saw Mahomes in the Super Bowl, where he had a toe injury. Now, I mean, the ankle, despite him looking hobbled, didn't, when it all came down to it, it did not hinder his ability to do the Mahomes-type stuff. But they certainly have the horses to chase Mahomes around like the Bucs did a couple of years ago, Ian. That's for sure.
They do. Yeah, they do. And that did pop up in my brain just trying to prepare for this and jotting some notes down this week. CBS had that Super Bowl. We worked on the pregame show. I definitely was intoxicated by Kansas City's offense.
Yes.
And the fact that the Brady story at that time wasn't complete, and I thought it was a little bit of a pipe dream. Obviously, the way that game went, it changed a lot of perceptions and changed legacies to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I think they downplayed the Mahomes injury that week leading up to the game. Here, there's nothing to hide. We saw it. He had a tough time getting back to the sideline after series, and yet when it was time to go and time to do it, he could still sling it, and they protected him well enough. I just think this Philadelphia defense brings a whole different dynamic getting to the quarterback, and that would concern me.
When you speak to Sirianni, what's he like? Is he anything close to the Sirianni we've seen on the sidelines, where he's just saying it with his chest and just, you know, getting after it in a way that you don't see many NFL head coaches, Ian?
No. No, not in the production meetings. He's a really likable dude. He's very much a regular guy that I think made good on this passion. He comes from a football family. His dad was a longtime coach. Brothers have been longtime coaches. So this has been in his blood forever. And he lives it. He breathes it. Cares a lot. He's a very likable guy. I think he does become something else on the sideline, and there is a chip on the shoulder, and there's something that has fueled him through the years. You've got the other angle, which I'm sure will pop up quite a bit this week in some stories. Andy Reid did not retain him. He was on the Kansas City coaching staff, and Andy Reid has said, hey, he got very high marks, but I had somebody else in mind for the job. It all worked out for Nick. He ended up going to the Chargers and then learning under Frank Reich, and that became a very important relationship in his football career. But I'm sure that's something that's fueled him as well, deep, deep, deep down, that he was in Kansas City and the new coaching regime led by Andy Reid didn't want him to be a part of it. So whatever motivates you, I think there are personas that pop up based on what we see on television, and I get it. That's often all we get for a lot of the fans. That's what they see, and that's what they base their opinion on. Nick is an affable dude, and you know, really happy for him to accomplish this in 2 years, to take this and move it to a place where they can win a championship is rather impressive.
Ian Eagle calling into the Rich Eisen Show in advance of calling Super Bowl 57 for the world, the international feed, and we'll return to that in a moment right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ian, I know you've got a Nets hat there. Put it on. It's now time for you to put on your Brooklyn Nets hat.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on, it's in the other room. Hold on.
There we go.
Okay. So,
okay.
Yeah, I got it.
Very good. Very good. Very, very short distance between rooms in your spot.
I live in a small house.
Okay. The Kyrie Irving era in Brooklyn is summed up how? Sum it up for me.
Yeah. The Kyrie era is summed up in high expectations and medium return. From a play-by-play man's point of view, it was a lot of fun. Fun to call his games. He is a basketball genius on the court. When he's healthy, when he's ready, when he's locked in, he is unpredictable on the floor, where you don't know what he's going to do next, and you got to be ready as an announcer to go to a certain place that you may have not gone to before. But it's about results, and it's about availability. So for Kyrie, it was a grand total of 52% of the games that he could have appeared in, that he actually appeared in for the Nets. And I think ultimately that's why the decision was made. This was a financial decision for Kyrie, his last known power play where he could actually pull this off and say it and force a trade. Free agent at the end of the year, wanted 4 years, $198 million. Nets were not going to pay that. They tried to negotiate. That fourth year was really the one that came into question, the guarantees involved. And I think they both hit a point of no return where they recognized that this wasn't going to work. So Kyrie takes his talents elsewhere, and the Nets now try to accumulate assets and see if they can make another move or two before the deadline on Thursday to try to put a supporting cast around Kevin Durant that can compete in the East and maybe win a championship.
Well, again, I know this is a negative setup, so I at least admitting that. I mean,
but
did the
Thanks
Nets?
For letting me know.
I know I'm kind of telegraphing my shot here. Did the Nets win in spite of him? Or I know he's incredible. I know he's going to the Hall. I know when I take my kids to Springfield, Mass. One day, they'll see his name and jersey and all the baubles and accolades from his career. And I know he'll deserve it. But it just seems to me that there's always something else with him. And this is now the second consecutive. You could make it three if you want to include Cleveland, although he departed from there himself. It just seemed he's left places just saying get out twice now in a row.
Yeah, it's a legitimate question, and it's a great question because I think the Nets have had to try to do some soul searching over the last several months, not just the last several days, on what the future is going to look like and the distractions that come with it. He's a gifted player, and he really was on his best behavior after the suspension, and that doesn't go away. By the way, it's not like, oh, well, that never happened. It happened. It's part of a long list of issues that took place where Kyrie was not a participant. And I think the Nets had to weigh all of that. Now, with all of that said, they also had to balance out how KD would react to this. And we still don't know that answer. We don't know if Kevin Durant is, quote unquote, on board or understanding in what just took place, that the Nets had to make this move. It was untenable, and it was irreparable. There was no going back. The Durant situation during the offseason, the Nets always felt if they could sit down with him, if they could speak, if they could communicate, if they could share their vision, they would be able to convince him that Brooklyn was the place to be, at least for now. I think they got to a point with Kyrie that they were no longer having those kind of rational discussions with him and his camp, and that's why this deal happened. Are they better off without him? Clearly, they decided not to pay the 4 years, $198 million, and the decision was made to move on without him and go in a different direction for the franchise. So that's their belief.
Ian Eagle, I appreciate you calling in before a big week, and just because I'm appreciative of that. I want to leave you with a couple of things here. Number one is a storyline. I don't know if you're aware, the Kelce brothers are playing in this game. Make a note of that, Jason and Travis, if you want to just put it on your notepad. There's that.
Got a highlighter.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to leave you with something for the world feed as well. And And because I'm such a giver, I think it is, in a way, through you being the conduit, giving something to the world, Ian. And that is, calling this game internationally, not for any network, not for CBS, your home network. I'm imagining there are not any show promos for you to read, which you're outstanding
No.
at. No. There are not, right?
No.
Okay. So
no, and that's a strange place for me. I mean, I'm accustomed to Bob Hart's Abishola, Ghosts, mm-hmm. all of the CBS Paramount Plus programming.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird, weird space for me to be in, not to have those promos.
Well, let me fill that void for you, and I appreciate you mentioning your streaming partner, because the Roku channel streams this program. You're also a 21st century guy. We have, on the Rich Eisen Show, created three shows. I believe we sent you the copy so you can read them. And I think we maybe should just choose the best one, and see if we can spring it on the international audience. Ian.
Yeah. I haven't seen these, Rich. So okay. This is a rip and read situation that I find myself in, but I feel very experienced in this space.
I know it.
And I'm ready if you're ready.
I am ready. Go for it. Ian Eagle, this is fake TV promo number one for the international feed of Super Bowl 57. Go for it.
They said his international court had no jurisdiction. But tell that to the oligarchs he's put behind bars. And strong men around the world certainly know his brand of justice is bringing the fight to them. David Caruso is back in CSI, The Hague.
We've got him in a wig on the screen for you, Ian. Okay, there you go. CSI The Hague. Very good. People will learn what The Hague is if they already don't. All right, here's fake TV promo number two. Ian Eagle, go for it. I like this one. Go for it.
She's a late-night sketch comedy star. He discovered the theory of relativity. Together, they're trying to find love and better cell reception. Cicely Strong and Paul Giamatti star in the new hit romantic comedy, How I Met Your Genius.
I feel like he's got the bike on the screen there. He's got his bike.
Brilliant.
She's very excited.
Okay. There's the last one. Go for it. Go for it, Ian. Go for it.
They found the fountain of youth, but sadly, time ran out. Now, they're coming back to life just to see the greatest of all time play in one last Super Bowl. The spirit ghosts of Wilford Brimley, Jessica Tandy, Hume Cronin, and Steve Guttenberg's career. Headline an all-star cast in Cocoon 4 for Brady.
Is that the spot where he retired?
That's the spot where he retired. Yeah. Smitch put the dunes behind him right there. It's Florida. All right, so which one do you like best, Ian? Which one do you think is good? Which one works?
Boy, I mean, all three are very enticing. I want to apologize to the Goot, of course, Steve Guttenberg.
Zachary, he took
in right now.
He took strays.
He got shrapnel. There's no reason for that. I personally, I'm a big Cecily Strong and Paul Giamatti fan.
Yep.
I want to see if the sparks from the commercials spill over. I would want to watch How I Met Your Genius.
How I Met Your Genius. All right. Let's see if we could sneak that in. And, of course, let's pitch it around town. Let's see how it works.
Done deal.
Take care of yourself, Ian. Have a great cast. I hope to see you in Arizona. Thanks for the call.
All right. You're the best.
Be right back
Hello,
at you.
Hello, Cuba. Get ready.
I want to hear from you. Costa Rica. Thanks.
Altoona, come on. Get on
it. You say Altoona.
You did say Altoona. TJ's hometown. Take care, Ian. We'll see you soon.
See you, Ian.
There you go. There's Ian Eagle, everybody.
I didn't know that Hacksaw was his color guy.
There you go.
For the world feed.
Altoona's worldwide, man. I'm trying to tell you.
Fantastic.
React.
All right, everybody. Let's take a break. Jared Goff's going to join us. That's next right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Talk Super Bowl with a former Super Bowl quarterback. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code Eisen when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code Eisen. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the desk of the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Joining us now, courtesy of Gillette, getting ready for Super Bowl 57, just like all of us, is the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams from Super Bowl 53 and currently the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Jared?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. What a great season you guys had in Detroit. That was awesome. I'm wondering what it felt like from your perspective, Jared.
Yeah, it was really fun, man. It was really fun, mostly to do it with a lot of the guys that were there, and certainly the coaches, but a lot of the players that were there the year prior where things weren't as good, and to be able to come back and improve and get better and you know, put our process in place and see the results pay off is super rewarding. So. It was fun, but we got a lot of work to do this offseason to continue to go in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely, and it seems to me, again, whatever Coach Campbell is selling, the rest of the team is buying. What is he selling, Jared?
Yeah, he's selling a whole lot, but he's a hell of a job of doing it. You know, we trust him, we believe in him. You know, he's a lot of fun to play for. I think, you know, our toughness, our grit is kind of what we rely on, but you know, I think ultimately us coming together as a team has been the most important part and sticking together and trusting each other and trusting the coaches and then trusting us. It became a really good family there and something that's continuing to grow.
You got a good Dan Campbell story? You got a favorite Dan Campbell story when you said it's fun to play for him? You got one for me, Jared?
Yeah, I'm running out because I get asked this question probably more than anything in my life nowadays.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I could give you a few.
Please.
I gave one earlier today, but he was speaking in a team meeting, and I actually had forgot about this story, just to give you some reference on it. I forgot about this story because it was so long ago until St. Brown brought it up this weekend at the Pro Bowl. But he was speaking in a team meeting one time, and he must have a fake tooth, and his tooth fell out. And he kind of just picked it up off the floor, put it back in, and just kept talking like nothing happened. And maybe that's why I forgot about it, because it seems somewhat normal at the time.
So I guess it's a fake tooth is like, thankfully I have everything in my mouth right now is still the genuine article. A tooth is like gum. There's a 5-second rule when it drops on the floor. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, for sure. It was definitely less than 5 seconds. He's in the clear.
But nobody after the meeting said, hey, did anybody notice Coach's fake tooth popped out and he popped it back in the mouth and kept talking?
Like, you know, it may have been like a serious meeting. I don't quite remember. I think it was last training camp. So I think we kind of just like let it go and moved on. And I had forgot about it actually until St. Brown brought it up this weekend.
So Hard Knocks has video of it? Was it this past training camp?
No, it was last year, like 2021.
Otherwise, that would have been on HBO like it was The Sopranos in 2 seconds flat. That would have made right. It big time. Okay. So, because it does seem to me that when you watched some of the playoff games this time around, did you think had we gotten in, had the results happened the way that you needed, somebody might not have won a game because you would have gone in and knocked him off? Any thought on that, Jared?
I'm sorry, Rich.
When you're watching the playoffs this year, did you think, hey, if we were there, we would have gone further? We would have beaten this team that won? Did you sit there and think that?
Yeah, you never know. I think we would have loved to get our chance in the playoffs and see what would happen. I think we proved through the second half of the season that we could play with anybody and beat anybody. So, yeah, you never know what would have happened. But, yeah, you sit here every year if you don't make it and kind of look at those teams and go, man, we could have beat them. We could have done that. But ultimately, you got to get in there and do it. So, one more game for us would have done it. And this next year coming, we got to make sure we don't start slow like we did, unfortunately, this season.
Jared Goff here on the Rich Eisen Show. Obviously, I'm biased. You know I'm a Michigan guy. What did Hutch bring to the equation?
Hutch is great, man.
Yeah, what did Aiden Hutchinson bring?
He did a great job, and I think seeing him as a rookie come in and kind of keep his head down and just go to work and not say much until, you know, he got his time in the game and then became, you know, be able to be himself and show his personality after that. But I think ultimately just seeing how he works every day and how much respect I have for him as a rookie to come in and act the way he did and ultimately play the way he did, it was extremely impressive. And I'm really excited to see where he can take our defense next year and continue to develop as a leader.
Any similarities between the ascension of this team as it seems to be going and the one that you eventually took to the Super Bowl here in Los Angeles, Jared?
I don't know. Our team this year was so much younger than that team. The prior year, even year, the year before we went to the Super Bowl, it was a different path. It was very fun this year. It was very young and naive, but it was fun. It was really fun for me to watch those young guys kind of grow into their role and be able to start playing really well and be able to enjoy success together and have a lot of these guys taste that they haven't had in this league. And the difference is a lot of these guys were kind of up and coming, and I think in LA there was a little bit more veteran presence, but we're on our way there, and we have a much more veteran presence this year than we had last year.
So do you feel like the old guy around him? Is that what you're saying, Jared, or am I just picking stuff up? What
yeah,
do you think?
Maybe it's just a function of me being older now, probably.
Okay.
It's hard to make that comparison, but yeah, I think ultimately I am. I'm going into year 8 now, and me and Taylor Decker are the two old guys on the offense, and mm-hmm. I don't know if we have anyone that's going to be older than year 8 on defense, unless we do something in free agency. But, I do feel like the old one, certainly.
Okay. And do you think you can grow old, if you will, in Detroit? Do you think this is your spot, Jared?
Yeah, man, we'll see. I sure hope so. I think this year has been fun. I've really enjoyed my time out there, and it's been a lot of fun for me. But I don't fully make those decisions. All I can do is continue to try to play well and see where it takes me, but I love it out there. It's been a lot of fun.
Is Penny Sewell demanding the ball now in crucial situations?
Yeah, he should be. He should be. We may end up handing it to him. Who knows? Get in a split backfield or something and give him a counter. You know, who knows? We'll see.
Can you walk me through that from practice to actually having it called and executing it in a crucial game as you had this year? I mean, and then just seeing him. We have a still photograph of him just like Superman, kind of like laying out off the ground, levitating. We're showing it right now. It's amazing. Can you walk me through that whole from start to finish, this play, Jared?
Yeah, I can start all the way back to Monday of that week. I was in Ben's office that Monday, just, you know, BS and talking about different ideas for the game. He's like, I really want to get Panay tackle eligible, and I want to see if we can get him a ball down in the red zone, or you know, see if we can move him around. It was just kind of a creative idea of his. And, sometimes those ideas don't stick, but when you're the coordinator, you can make them stick. So he did. And that was like a little three-play package that we had. It was made for the red zone. It was supposed to be really inside the 5. And when you bring Panay in as a tackle eligible, he can't go back to tackle until the next series. Or I think he had to take a play off, actually. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like we need to call these three plays sequentially. So if you go back and watch that drive, there was 3 in a row where he was tackle eligible. And then the third one ultimately was when we threw it to him. And it was kind of like these three plays are going to happen in order. So as soon as he came in as tackle eligible, everyone on the offense knew that those three plays were on their way.
So when that gets called, it's such a crucial game. I mean, what do you think? You sit there and go, this is fun? You're like, oh, this is great. I mean, I imagine the rest of the the huddle must get a jolt as you're matriculating your way down the call sheet, where you know the big culminating play could be a third downer, you know, as a, you know, a big one.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, you know, I think, to be honest, there wasn't much flinch. There wasn't much like overexcitement. I think we there may have been like a timeout after the second down play, so we had mm-hmm. some time to sit there and talk about it. And mm-hmm. I'm getting on the headset, hey, Telpane, you know, don't go out of bounds. Secure the catch, just fall forward, you know, all these coaching points. And I'm relaying them to Panay. Hey, Panay, they're telling me, you know, just so you know, let's do this. And finally, Jonah Jackson, our left guard, is like, hey, man, he's got it. Like, leave him alone. He's got it. And I'm like, all right. So, you know, it was a good feeling, but it was fun to get Panay involved there.
Jared Goff here on the Rich Eisen Show. What advice would you have for Jalen Hurts making his first career start in the Super Bowl? And, you know, again, I know Mahomes is not Brady. Nobody's Brady. No one may ever be Tom Brady. But he is an incredibly accomplished young quarterback that's potentially the MVP of the league. So I imagine there's some sort of similarities between your first Super Bowl start in Super Bowl 53 against Brady and what Hurts might be thinking right now. What advice would you give him, Jared?
Yeah, I ultimately treat it like any other game and have fun. But I think there's some distractions pregame on the field to be aware of, some distractions at halftime to be aware of with the length of the halftime, and just to kind of put yourself in you know, put the blinders on, I guess, throughout this week and then into game day and be able to focus on what you need to do. And the game day itself is a little weird too. The TV timeouts are longer. The footballs are sometimes a little bit different because there's so many of them. So little things like that, I guess, if I were to talk to him. But yeah, I think he's got it handled. We'll see how it goes.
No, I'm sure. But, I mean, what distractions you talk about prior to the game? Just like national anthem?
How many people are on the field, I think, is just so different than any other game that I've played in. Is, you know, typically you can walk around the sidelines. You can go grab water. You can do anything. The media is just circle the field, and you kind of can't get in or out of the sideline as easily. So there's just different things like that. But it's ultimately, when that whistle blows and the game starts, it's all the same, and try to make sure you keep it that way.
Do you go up to Brady beforehand? Did you do that back in the day? Did you see him before the game or no, Jared?
We had the media day, and I spoke to him for 10 seconds. But yeah, that's it. We just sent him for the media day.
That's it. So not even before the game on the field, nothing. No, nothing before.
No.
Okay.
No. I don't typically talk to guys before any other game either.
That's because you're big-time people, right, Jared? That's what you are. You're a big-timer.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. No,
don't forget that. You're a big-timer.
I don't know. No, I don't typically do.
Okay. So what are you doing with Gillette? What is the P&G Battle of the Paddles? What is this? What do you got for me?
Yeah, well, it's this little table tennis tournament I plan on winning. And
okay.
I get to represent Gillette, and you know, I'll be showing up with a fresh shave and feeling confident and getting ready to play well. And Rich, you can tune in if you want to on Twitch Sports, 7:30 Eastern on Wednesday.
Wednesday,
I'm sure you'll be dialed in to watch me, you know, win this tournament. I got Buda Baker round one, and then we'll see it. I know McCaffrey's in it, J.C. Horn, Trevor Lawrence. It'll be fun. But I won our team tournament at some point this offseason, last offseason, I guess, and I'm ready to take my talents.
So you're taking your talents to the Battle of the Paddles, the P&G Battle of the Paddles. So you're good at this? You're good at ping pong, table tennis, whatever you're going to call it? You got it?
I'd like to think so. I'm talking a big game right now, and these guys could come wax me. Who knows? But
okay.
I like to think I'm pretty good, and handled the Detroit Lions during OTAs last year pretty handedly. So we'll see if I can handle the rest of the NFL this week.
Trevor Lawrence, huh? He's coming, showing up. McCaffrey. I assume you saw these guys just at the Pro Bowl. What did you think of it? What did you think of the reimagined Pro Bowl games?
I thought it was fun, man. I really did. I thought it was a good time, and I thought it allowed guys to kind of be themselves and be loose, but at the same time, it was competitive and it was fun, and those juices were flowing, but there wasn't much, I guess, high intensity. There wasn't any hitting.
Well, I mean, ask Tyreek Hill that, man. Ask Tyreek Hill if there was any hitting. I mean, Adams flipped him the ball last second, and you saw what happened, right, with Jalen just took him right out, you know?
I think that was where, you know, you could see the competitiveness once that ball gets close to the goal line. Guys don't want guys to score, but
Ramsey blew him up. Yeah, he blew him up, Jared.
Jalen took him out. Jalen said, I bet he won't do it again. And I said, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, don't flip the cheetah the ball on like the 1/2 yard line. But I guess it's a flag game. You got to make sure that nobody's going to grab the flag. What was the last flag football game you played? When was the last time you did that?
Oh, man. Probably like my 12-year-old birthday, you know, at the park with my friends.
You dominated, though, right? You dominated.
Dominated. I think we scored on every drive.
Of course you did.
But, yeah, it was fun, man. It was really a lot of fun, and I think it kind of, you know, brought guys back to being kids again, and it was cool.
Jared, thanks for the time. Thanks for the time. Enjoy your table tennis. I hope you do. What's the trophy? Do you know what the trophy is?
I don't know. There better be a trophy, a cash prize. I don't know. We're playing for something. At least bragging rights.
Yeah, but, you know, you might get a razor blade. I don't know. I mean,
I'll get a free razor from Gillette.
There you go.
That's hopefully the.
Gillette is bringing us Jared Goff here on the Rich Eisen Show. Thanks for the call, Jared. Be well. We'll see you in Arizona.
All right, Rich. Thank you.
You got it. That's Jared Goff, Super Bowl 53 quarterback, right here on the program. Detroit Lions make it, right? Do they go into San Francisco and win that football game that Seattle had led at half?
Probably.
What do you think?
Probably not.
You don't know, do you?
But you asked me what I thought.
Oh, I don't agree with your thought.
Clearly.
I mean, he hung up. He's not listening. You can.
Oh, yeah. No, he would have been waxed.
You don't know.
Sorry.
I mean, you asked me.
What do you know?
I don't agree with your take, sir.
All right, that's fine.
I disagree with the sentiments of this man.
Sean Payton was talking, introduced, new head coach of the Denver Broncos. Very nice suit. Feel like that's like a Silence of the Lambs. Nice suit.
Did he go orange tie?
What do you think?
I didn't see it.
What do you
By
think?
The way, Senator, love your suit.
That's right. Nice suit. For the first time ever, stream the Super Bowl for free. Super Bowl 57 on Westwood One happens this coming Sunday. February 12th, catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are back. Tom Coughlin joining us at the top of our third hour. We've got an overreaction Monday and so much more. That's still to come here on this first of 5 Super Bowl 57 preview shows on the Rich Eisen Show.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Okay, I mean, what's to discuss in the NBA other than Kyrie Irving, other than the fact that the Lakers wanted him in the worst way, and like, LeBron tweeted out exactly that. What do you mean? Did he say we wanted him in the worst way? He just said, maybe it's me. By the way, he capitalized me, which is great. I would do that, too, if I was LeBron.
Do you think that's an autocorrect? Like he?
I don't know. It's is also capitalized, too. So.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's me. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me, but maybe we should have gotten him. Or, no, I don't think it's that either.
It's not Maybelline?
No. No, I think it's like.
Maybe it's me.
Maybe it's me.
Meaning what?
Maybe he doesn't like me and doesn't want to come to the Lakers.
Maybe the Lakers didn't have those assets to give the Nets. That's a nice package the Nets
Dallas
got.
Dallas sent a 2029 first-round pick. The Lakers still have that one, right?
Yeah, I guess. But, what, you know.
They just don't want Russell Westbrook.
who wants Russell Westbrook?
I don't know. I think the Lakers, he's in a good spot. He's playing well off the bench.
I get it, but...
And closing games.
I get it, but is this the... Like, look,
not Kyrie Irving.
You know, I've enjoyed watching the Lakers last week plus. I've talked about it. Jim, we talked about it here. I like how they've closed games, although, you know, New Orleans with T.J. Jefferson's fantasy darling when he plays, Brandon Ingram. That guy can ball out when he's healthy.
That's why my fantasy team stunk so bad. He was gone all year.
I know, but that was a fun game to watch over the weekend, by the way. New Orleans and the Lakers.
Yeah, that was
fun. Is this team going to win the championship this year? No. The current Lakers are a good watch. The current Lakers...
They're fun. They play entertaining games. Right,
can
they
finish,
score a lot. Yeah.
Can finish games and win more than not. I think the current Lakers, the way they're playing, they could play themselves into and then above the play-in tournament.
Yeah, they're a play-in team. Or maybe
a little better. Look, it's not too far from where they currently are to the middle of the... playoff pack in the Western Conference. You're not too far away.
Let's take a look.
You're not. But are you going to go on a run and beat the Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Denver Nuggets in a 7-game series where Denver's got the home court advantage with the current group? Can you do that? I mean, LeBron and AD can go off, but...
They could. I mean, the Lakers are 13th in the West right now, but they're only 3 games back of Dallas for 6th.
Okay. So let's just say, in LeBron's mind, we could have given up a package where I have Kyrie and AD.
Yep.
And still have what? Lonnie Walker?
And Rui
Hachimura? Yeah. We can close games like that, and the bench doesn't matter. We all we need is just 3 guys. You know,
maybe 2.
Coach Ham can tighten the rotation down to 8 during the playoffs. That's all we need. I can do that. I got it.
And now with Steph out, like maybe a month, maybe longer.
I don't know if as much as you know, I love the Warriors. I don't know. I mean,
but they're 8th right
now.
Don't
you think this is? Don't you think this is the Nuggets conference? If Memphis can get its, you know what, together,
it feels that way. I mean, Sacramento is 3rd right now. That is insane.
So LeBron must be sitting here thinking in his mind it's wide open.
West is wide open.
But apparently the Nets were working with the Lakers on a 3-way deal to try and get Kyrie there. So is it when he says maybe it's me? It's like maybe it's me that the Lakers aren't trying hard enough.
Oh, or maybe that's not how I said. That's what not was how it? I read it. I read it. Kyrie has a problem with LeBron still, dating back to Cleveland, which is why he left in the first place, and he doesn't want to play with him.
I don't know. I thought this entire venture, the minute that you had that reaction looking at your laptop on Friday's show, like mind blown. I thought this was all about trying to get his way to Los Angeles. Ooh. And I got a bunch of texts from people, you know, involved in the league, just sending me like, this is all about him getting the Lakers.
Yeah, but
I thought that's what it was to begin with.
If you're the Nets, going through what you stated earlier, your personal feelings about him, why would the Nets allow him to go to a place like the Lakers, which would help benefit? I don't think that was ever really going to be on the table for Kyrie.
I don't know, man.
As much as
it might be, you know, personal because he's been such a pain in the ass, or he was not available. What Ian Eagle said earlier this hour, he's played in 52% of the games he was eligible to play in his tenure for the Nets.
Wow.
We'll do the math for you. That means he missed 48% of his games. And so, you know, as much as that has been an issue, as much as whatever we see is the tip of the iceberg, they're going to take the best possible deal. And if Kyrie winds up in a spot where he can win it all and he's happy, I wouldn't care. I'm not like saying, I'm so personally hating you so much, I want to send you to whatever Siberia I can. No, I'm going to try and get the best possible deal. You know, if it's a 1 and multiple 2s and 2 players, including one that I know, you know, and the organization at least knows, in Dinwiddie, and he's been playing very well.
Yeah, and he played well there.
So I'm doing that. And plus, you know, it's not... If you think the Nets had an axe to grind against him, I mean, sending him to play for Cuba and coached by Jason Kidd and play alongside Luka Doncic is a pretty good spot. So I wouldn't go there I just think the Lakers didn't have a package similar to what the Mavericks offered. I just don't think that they
had gave
it.
Up a lot. I think so. I think they gave up a lot. And considering you're just trying to get rid of a player you think is toxic and doesn't want to be there, they got a lot back, Brooklyn did. I think they might be better off.
I think they are better off. That's what I said in the first hour.
It all depends
on
Kevin Durant coming back 100%.
I know this is going to be the conversation, but this week the Lakers, I think, are going to dismantle Oklahoma City. And then, if I'm not mistaken, LeBron needs to have a monster game to break Kareem's scoring record tomorrow night.
Yeah,
right?
Needs 36.
I mean, that's possible for him to
game,
do.
Though, really.
I mean, it's possible for him to do. 36 is a lot of points.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
how many times
has
he scored more than 35 this year?
Yeah,
I mean, he's done it.
Consider the circumstance. Like, now LeBron isn't really a first shoot type. Like, he's a distributor. So now if he knows he's that close, he might just be going for his.
Or he's just going to do it against Milwaukee. Either way, it's going to happen.
It's happening this week.
Will roll it out for him. Like, this is what they do. They have big nights that are historic nights, not just for the franchise, but for the entire league, and they play it up big.
I think he does it Tuesday.
But I don't know if he'd prefer Kyrie or a big move before Thursday rather than breaking the record on a Wednesday. I don't think he particularly cares.
He's gone over 35 eight times since his birthday.
So it's possible. Look, here's the deal. He's going to break it, and it'll be a nice night, but the maybe it's me thing, you took it to mean that Kyrie has something personal against him, and I don't think he had, but I don't think Kyrie had any say in where he winds up. Did he have a no trade? I don't think he had that.
Oh, I don't know. But I mean, like I said, it just
goes
back.
I think he really wanted to come here.
It goes back to why he left Cleveland in the first place.
But I thought he and LeBron like kind of made up, or
maybe LeBron's like, maybe we didn't make up. That's kind of how I read it. Maybe it's me.
I don't know. I took that to
mean
when I saw that.
Twitter.
I took that to mean it was right. Something about his situation here in Los Angeles. Maybe it's me, man. I can't get a break forget his team. Like, he thinks honestly, you've got the window to do it now. The problem is that everything else that they have has hamstrung them in terms of the first rounders that they can give up that are within short order. Although, as you pointed out, the Nets accepted one.
29
for a kid that's currently what in fifth grade, potentially, potentially somebody who's sitting there in seventh grade.
Well, that's why I said last week there's like a seventh grader that's waiting.
Yeah,
you don't have to go to college anymore.
You know, the thing is, the problem with Twitter, like I said, is a lot of times people will tweet something and then everyone's trying to psychoanalyze it and break it down, and then you really just find out it's a little baby lyric later on, and it doesn't mean anything. But everyone's like, broken out the microscope and tried to see what it's saying.
Well, I just think Kyrie showing up here in Los Angeles, all of a sudden we're sitting up straighter to see if they can win this conference this year. I mean, that's a doable thing for the Los Angeles Lakers, depending on how much they have left around them. I think they would have been able to do that. And I think that's what he's like. Maybe it's me. I can't catch a break.
The Clippers apparently put a decent trade offer on the table for him as well. And I guess you're right, Chris. The Mavs just had.
They would have taken him when they left Brooklyn tonight.
Yeah, they had Luke Kennard, Terrence Mann, a couple ones, a couple pick swaps in the future. But I think you put him on that Clipper team. That
I guess.
Rat,
I get it. But you also have to it's not like you're just getting only his play and his stat sheet. Hour three, Tom Coughlin coming up on our program. You know what I mean? Like, we all sit here like it's like a fantasy league. Yeah, we'll get him. But it's not a fantasy league. You're getting a whole bunch of stuff. Every spot he showed up in, it's always how great it is that he's here. We could totally win a championship with him. And then it winds up as a flaming bag of dog poop.
Like Billy Madison?
Yes. Yes.
Just don't step on it.
And a perfect example is that if this was fantasy basketball, I would be winning it. You know? And this has nothing to do with me right now.
Oh, jeez. It never does, and yet somehow we...
I haven't lost a fantasy basketball week since Christmas.
You know what else I've noticed?
Dude, you know what it is? And it's Super Bowl week, and we're talking about since Christmas, after I took care of your team this week.
You know what I realized? Yeah, Chris, he was up 10-0 talking all that yang, and then he barely won this week 6-5, but okay.
Because Damian Lillard played every night this week and scored 50 every time.
Here's what he complains constantly about, guys taking games back-to-backs off.
Right.
What I've realized about your team is you've never gone through a stretch where any of your top players have been hurt.
False.
Like, I've had Brandon Ingram out for 2 months.
False.
When was the last time you had one of your top guys out hurt?
Chris Paul missed an entire 2 weeks.
Chris Paul's not a top player.
He's not your
tell
top.
Tell that to his 14 assists from the other night.
I dropped Chris Paul earlier in the season.
Great,
so
I grabbed him and I beat you with him this week. It was great.
Granted. So what I'm saying is you're complaining a lot about missed back-to-backs. Your team has not faced any type of
hardship. Talk to the hand and the commercial break.